Hey there. Welcome to another edition of the AgriCurious podcast, brought to you by the Lamb Lab at the Department of Agricultural Leadership, Education and Communication at the University of Georgia. My name is Dennis Bafo Ewa, but you can call me the Artistic Scientist. So last month, in September, I spent 2 days, specifically the 23rd and the 24th day, at a conference in Fayetteville in Arkansas. It was the annual meeting of a project funded by the USDA-NIFA Specialty Crop Research Initiative. The title of this project is Through the Grapevine, Developing Vitis and Muscadinia Wide Hybrids for Enhanced Disease Resistance and Quality. Now this project is big. It has a 32-person project team from 12 academic and research institutions. At the meeting, which was held at the Don Tyson Center for Agricultural Sciences at the University of Arkansas System Division of Agriculture, there were participants ranging from project team leads to project co-investigators, students and staff of research institutions, advisory board members, collaborators, postdoctoral fellows, stakeholders, and guests. Now, I had the opportunity to sit down with the two co-directors of this project, two strong women leading a change. Stay with me as we talk about the project and discuss its implications to industry, research, and the United States as a whole. I do have here Renee and I also have Margaret, but I'll let them introduce themselves to us and what exactly they're doing and what conference we're at. So let me begin with you, Renee.
All right. Dr. Renee Threlfall, I'm an associate professor in the Food Science Department at the University of Arkansas System Division of Ag.
And I'm Margaret Worthington. I'm an associate professor of fruit breeding and genetics here at the University of Arkansas System Division of Agriculture.
Okay, so we're here today for a conference that we're talking basically about vitis and then muscadinia. I would want you to talk to me about this project and then your role in this project, Renee.
So we are co-directors of a federally funded project called Through the Grapevine, Developing Vitis by Muscadinia Wide Hybrids to Enhance Disease Resistance and Quality.
Yeah, we have been thinking about working on a project with muscadines and grape hybrids for quite a long time. So people are really familiar with grapes like Vitis minifera grapes that you'll enjoy for wines, juices, table grapes, raisins. But we actually have a native grape here in the southeast, muscadine grapes, and it's in a different subgenus. So it's quite a distant relative from Vitis minifera grapes. But muscadine grapes are a lovely product. They're great. They're really well adapted to the challenges that we have in the southeastern U.S., disease resistant, late blooming, so they don't have a spring freeze and injury. They handle rain and cracking with no problem. So they're very well adapted to our environment, and they also have lovely flavors. And so there's a lot that is fabulous about muscadine grapes that could be brought into bunch grapes. And similarly, I will say there are some challenges with muscadines, particularly on the texture is unappealing to some people. They can have quite a thick the skin and kind of gummy flesh, and they have large seeds particularly, and large bitter seeds. And so the goal is to bring things like seedlessness and maybe some other quality attributes like stable anthocyanins from bunch grapes into muscadine while moving some of those disease resistant traits and other positive characters from muscadines to Vitis vinifera by developing these wide hybrids, which is actually a really challenging process, but now something that's a little bit easier now that we have some modern scientific tools to help us.
And so we were able to assemble a really great team of people to kind of address the quality issues we're having with Vitis vinifera and being able to grow it in the United States. But our team goes all the way. We have a team of genetics addressing breeding, addressing quality attributes, marketing, and also production. And the production element includes growers, extension agents, the actual people that would be growing the grapes. And the marketing element includes the consumer. So we go all the way basically from the DNA elements of these grape selections and cultivars all the way to looking at what growers and consumers are wanting to do in the future.
Okay. Now, even before you answer that, Renee, I was going to ask you, how were you able to assemble, you know, 32 persons, 12 institutions to team up, to collaborate on such a large USDA-funded project? How were you able to do it?
So, you know, one of the things people may not realize is how long this process takes. We have been thinking about this project for over a decade, kind of waiting for the right players to come into our programs, waiting for Margaret to get here to be our U of A system breeder, a fruit breeder, and, you know, aligning ourselves with everyone that works on the grape industry and are interested in this subject. So we were also, you know, it is a big team, 32 people. We have 6 team leaders. So I have to have my core group is an important group because they lead all of our efforts, because I might lead the quality effort and Margaret might also lead the breeding effort, but we also don't know as much about the other teams as well. So they bring those expertise and they assemble their teams. So I really thought about teamwork, patience, managing a lot of people. It really takes a patient personality, maybe.
Okay. So how long is this project and how far are we?
Okay. So we just, we are in year one of the project. The project was funded in 2024 and began in September. So we're actually 1 year exactly into the project, and it will go for 4 years of funding. So we received $7.1 million in funding for 4 years for 32 people to work on this project.
Okay. All right. Margaret, I want to ask you, so you spoke about the muscadines. My question to you is, what unique challenges do muscadines, or maybe wild hybrids, address in terms of disease resistance and food quality and maybe other desired traits?
Yeah. You know, when we were writing the proposal, fortunately, there was a historically important grape breeder at UC Davis named Harold Olmo, and he has this great quote about Vitis rotundifolia, or the muscadine grape, being the greatest counterbalance to the deficiencies in a Vitis vinifera grape. And we really think that's true, and it's been kind of a guiding quote or philosophy behind what we're doing. Muscadines are very resistant to powdery mildew and downy mildew, which are big problems for the grape industry. And already there's a very important disease resistance gene called RUN1 that brings total resistance to powdery mildew, and that's been introgressed from muscadine to Vitis vinifera and is being deployed in some new cultivars that are coming out today. But muscadines are also resistant to black rot, Pierce's disease, phylloxera, nematodes, and most importantly for our project, probably grapevine leaf roll associated virus 3, which is really a devastating viral disease for the grape industry. So we are looking to uncover new genes that might be interesting that we could use to cross into Vitis vinifera. Now, crossing the two species is a challenge. You know, I'm a plant breeder and I'm a very traditional applied plant breeder. So what do? You know, I just take two parents that I really like and I combine, use one as the female parent and put pollen from the other in a very old fashioned process. But that is a real challenge for this particular style of crossing between Vitis vinifera and muscadines, because they have a different chromosome number. So it's a little bit like crossing a horse and a donkey, just the same as muscadines. There's one extra chromosome in the horse compared to the donkey. So fortunately, you know, people have thrown enough pollen at the problem and they've used traditional methods to introgress these genes to get over that partial sterility that you see in the first generations. And we've brought in seedlessness from Vitis vinifera to muscadine. And that's the big, most important trait, I think. If you wanted to make muscadines a table grape industry, I just don't think in the long term they can have seeds. The seeds are so large and so bitter. It needs to be something that you can eat without having to spit anything out. Very elegant. efficiently. So yeah, we have been looking at genetic markers now so that we can actually track what we've done. So it's all still traditional breeding, no GMOs, nothing like that. But we're using the markers to track which segments and which genes we brought in these wide hybrids and to inform our breeding decisions and help us to do these things faster. Because yeah, I mean, like, we have achieved bringing in run one and seedlessness without the use of markers, but it's taken 100 years. So maybe to make the next generation of progress and to find the next products that really combine the best traits of these two subgenera, we can do this in a much quicker timeline using modern tools.
Okay. So you're combining two different species over here. How is this not genetic modification?
I think genetic modification is where you're doing something in a laboratory and you're like bringing in a gene that is not already existing within that germplasm pool. This is just making combined crosses just the same as a dog breeder who wanted to make a labradoodle would do or something. Yeah, roses, so on and so forth. You know, I do I breed new blackberry varieties too, and I make controlled crosses there. And I'm just doing the same thing here. And I'm using genetic markers to choose the best progeny to make the most progress for the least amount of money in the fastest time possible. I'm using it to select the best individuals, but it's not changing my actual process of breeding, if that makes sense.
Okay. Okay.
I'll add to that. When you make a cross between parents, you're going to get maybe 100 seedlings. And that's just Jenner's May, what she keeps. But for those seedlings, for a grapevine, we won't see fruit for 2 to 3 years. So she's going to have to wait 2 to 3 years to see if it's seedless or not when there's a fruit on the plant. But if we can use a marker-assisted identification of seedlessness, a gene for seedlessness, then she can know right away from those crosses which ones are seedless and which ones are not, which ones to keep. So we don't have to, we can basically speed up the pipeline from a cross to a typical release of a, I'll use wine grape as an example, is 20 or 30 years on traditional, using traditional breeding without any marker assisted. It takes a long time.
That's a long time.
We have to go from selecting to moving it, letting it grow again. A grapevine doesn't produce fruit really for a good crop until year 3. So, you know, every time you start all over, you wait 3 years. So if you have one plant and you have to start all over again, you have to wait another 3 years. Then you got to evaluate it at commercial site. So this is really just speeding up the pipeline using these marker assisted technologies.
Okay. So let's try to break this down for somebody who's listening to us who doesn't understand what all this science entails. If we're to break it down, are we saying that we have two species of grapes? We have the muscadine and we have the vitis.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. And we are trying to bring the strengths of each one together to form something that has that vigor that is shared or that comes from the two. Are we going to give this a different name? What is it going to be?
Well, you're not going to have any product that is half Vitis vinifera and half muscadine. Those like first generation half and half hybrids and F1 hybrid, right? That's never going to have the fertility needed to be a product. What we're thinking of doing is making a Vitis vinifera type grape that may be 5 to 10% muscadine by pedigree, and then a muscadine grape that may be 5 to 10% Vitis vinifera in its background that's bringing in some of the positive characters of those traits while bringing back the fertility that you would have within the species and not from the first generation hybrids. So, you know, I don't think on the Vitis side that you would call it anything different than a grape. It's going to be a grape, but a grape that is disease resistant. On the muscadine side, you know, I think we have an opportunity potentially because most people in the country have never heard of a muscadine grape. So, you know, when we're introducing a new seedless muscadine grape, I think it's a really nice opportunity to have a higher threshold for quality for other traits too, to make sure that those releases that you have are super flavorful, have a dry stem scar, have a good texture, so that it's a really good experience. And maybe a new name can differentiate it and maybe, you know, Sparkle Cosmic Wonderful Berry or something like that is a more positive name to market it with. And we actually have a marketing team on this project who is going to do some specific studies to understand what would be the best way that we can package this new product, that we can describe this product, names, you know. So we hopefully are going to address some of these questions over the next couple of years.
Okay. So you mentioned the marketing team. I know there are several teams on this project. Can you tell us these teams that are on the project and also how they shape the direction of this whole research?
So our first team is a genetics team that's led by Chi Sun at Cornell University. The genetics team worked really a lot with the breeding team, which is led by Margaret, and the pathology team, which is led by Lance Cadle Davidson at USDA. And really, those three teams are working a lot together to address a lot of the issues with the genes, the breeding, and the disease resistance elements. On the quality side, I'm leading the quality team. Dr. Melinda Knuth at North Carolina State University is leading the marketing team. And as Margaret said, we're going to be looking at really assessment of market opportunities. Of what we're looking at really are these muscadinia hybrids. On our project. And on the production side, the same thing, heavy on the selections that will be coming out on the muscadinia type hybrids just for commercial production. So the production team run by Dr. Mark Hoffman at North Carolina State University will be working with a lot of growers. And we have commercial plannings. On the production element, we have replicated trials going on in three different states. And also we have on-farm trials where we are working with already people that are commercial growers that are looking at diversifying their operations. I know here in Arkansas, our farm, one of our farms is actually a winery that are looking for fresh market diversification. And the other one is a blackberry growers. They have over 60 acres of blackberries and they're looking at diversifying into fresh market muscadines.
Okay.
But I'll say, you know, the whole project is really interdisciplinary and we had an initial planning grant before we got this grant. So we actually hosted a meeting where we had 50, 60 people come here to Arkansas in 2023. And we all discussed, you know, what are the major things that we would need to do to put together a project that is going to create something really useful for American growers and consumers and also is likely to get funded. And you know, so we work together to come up with all these objectives. And I think we have a lot of interaction between each other all the time. So what we're doing in one objective is really informing the other. You know, today I was just talking about how in the breeding objective, I feel like the main thing that we do is produce plants, fruit, leaves, you know, everything that we mail to everyone else to help facilitate all the other actions of the project. So we're all working really closely together.
Okay. So I'll ask you this question, and I think it's one of the main objectives you're looking at. So how do you see this project reshaping the grape and wine industry in the United States?
Well, I have kind of two visions for the two sides of the project, right? Like, I think growers of Vitis vinifera grapes in America have to spray so many times a year. You know, there's so many sprays on a weekly or biweekly basis to control fungal pathogens, and we would love to help develop high quality new cultivars that would help make grape farming a little bit more economically and environmentally sustainable. And we would love to find the virus resistance to help those vineyards last a little bit longer. And then on the muscadine side, I really am passionate about muscadine grapes. I grew up eating them. They're my favorite fruit. I think fresh market muscadine grapes are criminally underutilized as a crop. They are just so tasty. I mean, so aromatic. My children are obsessed with them, particularly with the seedless ones my kids love. So I really think that it has the potential to be a new commodity. I work on blackberries. That's probably my day job is blackberry breeder. And, you know, blackberries were not an industry in the same way that they are now 20 years ago. You did not see them on the supermarket shelves. Now they are on the supermarket shelves 12 months a year. I really think that seedless muscadine grapes or the fresh market have the potential to be a new berry commodity. And I think that consumers would eat them up. I think they're fantastic. So I really hope to be a part of that. That's what I would love to see before I retire here.
Okay. So does it make you feel you're pioneering something that is going to grow to be really huge and impactful to the grape industry and to consumers, to producers, to everybody. Do you think you're birthing a story like that?
Yes.
I don't know. I hope so. You know, I certainly, it's a long process, and a lot of factors have to come together to grow a new fruit industry. So we hope to be part of it. That's for sure.
All right, Renee.
Yeah, I'll add just some because Margaret was very well spoken about that. But I think it takes time to implement change, and we're not in a hurry. When she gave an example of blackberries not really being available 10, 20 years ago in the grocery store all the time, we also look at fresh market grapes that you buy in the grocery store. 10 years ago, you went to the grocery store and you had a choice of a green grape and a red grape. Maybe it was seeded, maybe it was seedless. That was it. And now you go into the store and it's very commercialized with fanciful names, cotton candy. I'm trying to think of some other ones, but you know, everything's named to market the quality of that product. So I think like a lot what Margaret said is that launching into taking this industry to a new level, but going from, you know, all the way from the DNA to the agriculture to the and linking into the consumer is going to take time, acceptance.
So you're listening to the AgriCurious podcast, and today I'm sitting with two strong women who are spearheading ahead in something really good over here. And we're in Fayetteville and Arkansas, and we're at this conference through the grapevine, which you've heard about. Now, let's just get in to ask a few more questions before we wrap it all up over here. All right, so let's talk about this Fayetteville meeting or conference that we're all here for. I have seen students, I have seen industry partners, I have seen people that work in different areas in the same industry. What do you hope these attendees are going to take away from this event?
So this event is our annual meeting, which when we wrote our project, you know, it's really important to make sure that all the people involved can stay informed. And so this is one way that we get together instead of by Zoom throughout the year. And we've talked a lot about our project team, but we also have wonderful advisory board that participate in our project and will help us help guide our project, being our touchstones. All right, so we're here for the conference so that we can all see what the progress is that we've done in a year, but also to make sure we're on track and to take guidance from our partners, our researchers, our students, our advisory board, to see if there's things we're not addressing that we have forgotten about. So if we need to change track and figure out something we haven't addressed that is going to be something that is going to be an issue, then we can work together to solve that problem. We're also planning ahead, thinking about things we can do more than 4 years from now.
Okay. So I know it's day one of the conference, but tell me, are you satisfied with the participation, the attendance, and presentations so far?
That one. So yeah, we have a 32-person team, we have over almost 60 people here today. It's really great to include the students and the technicians that are working on the project. And we're very happy that they're all able to come here and to meet all in person and really network. So, you know, one of the questions I get asked a lot when I'm talking about this project is, you know, are you just focusing on fresh market fruit, you know, fruit you can buy in the grocery store or on a farm stand or at a pick your own operation? And the answer to that is like we had a lot of fresh market muscadinia hybrids in our pipeline to kind of start. And it is a focus of this particular project, but there is probably a majority of the muscadine products that are out there are in the wine and juice world. And I'd say that probably makes up 90% of the muscadine market that's commercially available. So while we're looking at a lot on the fresh market, we are also considering our potential for these new selections and grape cultivars that are going to be coming out, how they could possibly perform on the wine production side or the juice production side, particularly with the color elements, how well they hold their pigments and during processing and during storage, but also these unique flavors. when consumers think about a muscadine wine, those that have had muscadine, they really just think of it as a sweet wine. But there's a great potential for muscadine wine to be a dry wine. And I think a lot of that perception of sweetness really is that it is just so aromatic and flavorful that they equate that in their mind to a sweetness.
All right, so I'll come to you, Margaret. So this is the first year of the project, and we have four more years to go, as you did put it earlier. At the end of that 4 years, what are you hoping to have achieved with all that you're doing right now?
Well, you know, Renee mentioned earlier that in the past, it could take 20 to 30 years to develop a new wine grape cultivar. So we're speeding up the process, but we're probably not speeding up the process where we could go from making a cross to having a new cultivar in 4 years. So that's not possible. But I hope that what we can do within these 4 years of project funding are to identify some really exciting new disease resistance genes and start the process of making the best crosses to move that forward for the next generation or the next iteration of the project to get those closer to commercial release. On the muscadine side, I hope we'll learn some more about how to market these new hybrids and which of the best new hybrids coming out are most promising. And I hope we'll understand a little bit more about what attributes and flavors and texture characters and a muscadine are people really looking for to guide our breeding decisions moving forward. And aside from that, you know, I hope that we have built a baseline of communication between the U.S. muscadine research community and the U.S. grape research community. Before this project, there had never been a big project that had brought together the people working on muscadine grapes in the southeastern U.S. with those people working on Vitis vinifera grapes throughout the country. And this project has really brought together the two communities, and I hope that there will be a lot of spinoffs and collaborations that will come from this project much beyond this. And I hope that we will have trained a bunch of new ag researchers who will go on to have really impactful and important careers in our industry.
All right.
I'll add just a little bit. Like one thing about, you know, receiving the opportunity for this funding is leveraging it to achieve other projects and other goals for side, what I call side projects, but that come about that aren't a part of this project, but could serve for what Margaret calls Vitis Biomuscadinia part two of the project.
So our project really builds on the work that's done by another SCRI project that was funded for the first time probably 12 years ago, and that's the work of VitisGen. So VitisGen was a big project that brought together a bunch of grape researchers, breeders, geneticists, pathologists to develop new disease-resistant grapevines. And specifically, muscadine was not included in that first batch. And so what we're doing is really building on a lot of the foundational work that they have done in those projects and taking that forward and adding muscadine on. So I think it's great that we're able to save the government money by leveraging a lot of work that's already been done and is happening right now within that grape project, and now come and have this muscadine project that has so many synergies and is able to hopefully just make that even much more productive and efficient. So.
Well, thank you so much for talking to me about this project and about what is happening here at Fayetteville in Arkansas. And of course, you have heard from these strong women who are spearheading this project through the grapevine. And you have heard it all from them. This is really interesting. Something that is rather going to take a long time to be done, you know, being done in the shortest possible time. This is beautiful. And so you have heard from Dr. Renee Threlfall at the Food Science Department at the University of Arkansas System and Dr. Margaret Worthington, Horticulture Department, University of Arkansas System. Thank you so much for learning with me today. I have learned a lot and I know you have as well. My name is Dennis Balfour Iwoa. You can call me the Artistic Scientist, and the AgriCurious podcast is brought to you by the Lamb Lab. You'll be safe and catch me on the next episode.